Chapter 20. Coach and Beatrix, you shall have a spinet. And Frank, you shall have a little horse from Exton Fair. And Harry, you shall have £5 to buy some books, said my lord, who was generous with his own, and indeed with other folks' money. Wish your aunt would die once a year, Rachel. We could spend your money, and all your sisters too. I have but one aunt, and I have another use for the money, my lord, says my lady, turning very red. Another use, my dear, and what do you know about money? Cries my lord. Andy, what the devil is there, that I don't give you what you want? I intend to give this money, can't you fancy how, my lord? My lord swore one of his large oaths, that he did not know in the least what she meant. I intend it for Harry Esmond to go to college. Cousin Harry, says my lady, you mustn't stay longer in this dull place, but make a name to yourself, and for us too, Harry. Dennett, Harry's well enough here, says my lord, for a moment looking rather sulky. Is Harry going away? You don't mean to say you will go away? Cry out Frank and Beatrix at one breath. But he will come back. And this will always be his home, cries my lady, with blue eyes looking a celestial kindness colon, and his scholars will always love him, won't they? By GD, Rachel, you're a good woman, says my lord, seizing my lady's hand, at which she blushed very much, and shrank back, putting her children before her. Wish you joy, my kinsman, he continued, giving Harry Esmond a hearty slap on the shoulder. Won't balk your luck. Go to Cambridge, boy, and when Tusher dies you shall have the living here, if you are not better provided by that time. We'll furnish the dining room, and buy the horses another year. I'll give thee a nag out of the stable. Take anyone except my hack and the bay gelding, and the coach horses, and Godspeed thee, my boy. Have the sorrel, Harry, 'tis a good one. Father says 'tis the best in the stable, says little Frank, clapping his hands, and jumping up. Let's come and see him in the stable. And the other, in his delight and eagerness, was for leaving the room that instant to arrange about his journey. The Lady Castlewood looked after him with sad penetrating glances. He wishes to be gone already, my lord, said she to her husband. The young man hung back abashed. Indeed, I would stay forever, if your ladyship bade me, he said. And thou wouldst be a fool for thy pains, kinsman, said my lord. Tut, tut, man. Go and see the world. Sow thy wild oats, and take the best luck that fate sends thee. I wish I were a boy again, that I might go to college, and taste the trumping to nail. Ours, indeed, is but a dull home, cries my lady, with a little of sadness, and, maybe, of satire, in her voice colon an old glum house, half ruined, and the rest only half furnished. A woman and two children are but poor company for men that are accustomed to better. We are only fit to be your worship's handmaids, and your pleasures must of necessity lie elsewhere than at home. Curse me, Rachel, if I know now whether thou art in earnest or not, said my lord. In earnest, my lord, says she, still clinging by one of her children. Is there much subject here for joke? And she made him a grand curtsy, and, giving a stately look to Harry Esmond, which seemed to say, remember, you understand me, though he does not, she left the room with her children. Since she found out that confounded Exton business, my lord said N.D. be hanged to them that told her, as he has not been the same woman. She, who used to be as humble as a milkmaid, is as proud as a princess, says my lord. Take my counsel, Harry Esmond, and keep clear of women. Since I have had anything to do with the jades, they have given me nothing but disgust. I had a wife at Tangier, with whom, as she couldn't speak a word of my language, you'd have thought I might lead a quiet life. But she tried to poison me, because she was jealous of a Jew girl. There was your aunt, for aunt she is Aunt Jezebel, a pretty life your father led with her. And here's my lady. When I saw her on the pillion, riding behind the dean her father, she looked and was such a baby, that a sixpenny doll might have pleased her. And now you see what she is hands off, heighty tighty, high and mighty, an empress couldn't be grander. Pass us the tankard, Harry my boy. A mug of beer and a toast at morn, says my host. A toast and a mug of beer at noon, says my dear. Dianet, Polly loves a mug of ale too, and laced with brandy, by Jove. Indeed, I suppose they drank it together, for my lord was often thick in his speech at midday dinner, and at night at supper, speechless altogether. Harry Esmond's departure resolved upon, it seemed as if the Lady Castlewood too, rejoiced to lose him, for more than once, when the lad, ashamed perhaps at his own secret eagerness, to go away at any rate stricken with sadness at the idea of leaving those from whom he had received so many proofs of love and kindness inestimable, tried to express to his mistress his sense of gratitude to her, and his sorrow at quitting those who had so sheltered and tended a nameless and houseless orphan, Lady Castlewood cut short his protests of love and his lamentations, and would hear of no grief, but only look forward to Harry's fame and prospects in life. Her little legacy will keep you for 4 years like a gentleman. Heaven's providence, your own genius, industry, honor, must do the rest for you. Castlewood will always be a home for you, and these children, whom you have taught and loved, will not forget to love you. And, Harry, said she, and this was the only time, when she spoke with a tear in her eye, or a tremor in her voice, it may happen in the course of nature, that I shall be called away from them, and their father, and they will need true friends and protectors. Promise me that you will be true to them as I think I have been to you, and a mother's fond prayer and blessing go with you. So help me God, madam, I will, said Harry Esmond, falling on his knees, and kissing the hand of his dearest mistress. If you will have me stay now, I will. What matters whether or no I make my way in life, or whether a poor bastard dies as unknown as he is now? 'Tis enough that I have your love and kindness surely, and to make you happy is duty enough for me. Happy, says she, but indeed I ought to be, with my children, and not happy, cried Esmond, for he knew what her life was, though he and his mistress never spoke a word concerning it. If not happiness, it may be ease. Let me stay, and work for you, let me stay, and be your servant. Indeed, you are best away, said my lady, laughing, as she put her hand on the boy's head for a moment. Who shall stay in no such dull place? You shall go to college, and distinguish yourself as becomes your name. That is how you shall please me best, and if my children want you, or I want you, you shall come to us, and I know we may count on you. May heaven forsake me, if you may not, Harry said, getting up from his knee. And my knight longs for a dragon this instant, that he may fight, said my lady, laughing, which speech made Harry Esmond start, and turn red. For indeed the very thought was in his mind, that he would like that some chance should immediately happen whereby he might show his devotion. And it pleased him to think that his lady had called him her knight, and often he recalled this to his mind, and prayed that he might be her true knight too. My lady's bedchamber window looked out over the country, and you could see from it the purple hills beyond Castlewood Village, the green common betwixt that and the hall, and the old bridge which crossed over the river. When Harry Esmond went away for Cambridge, little Frank ran alongside his horse as far as the bridge, and there Harry stopped for a moment, and looked back at the house, where the best part of his life had been passed. It lay before him with its gray familiar towers, a pinnacle or two shining in the sun, the buttresses and terrace walls casting great blue shades on the grass. And Harry remembered, all his life after, how he saw his mistress at the window looking out on him in a white robe, the little Beatrix's chestnut curls resting at her mother's side. Both waved a farewell to him, and little Frank sobbed to leave him. Yes, he would be his lady's true knight, he vowed in his heart. He waved her an adieu with his hat. The village people had goodbye to say to him too. All knew that Master Harry was going to college, and most of them had a kind word and a look of farewell. I do not stop to say what adventures he began to imagine, or what career to devise for himself, before he had ridden 3 miles from home. He had not read Monsieur Galland's ingenious Arabian tales as yet, but be sure that there are other folks who build castles in the air, and have fine oaks, and kick them down too, besides honest Elnisher. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.